When you're the preacher's kid, you get stuck with all kinds of tasks. That was my wife up here praying with me. Sometimes people are like, who's your wife? Megan's my wife. She was up here praying with me, with people. And so that was her. She doesn't like this spotlight, but she is amazing. And so sometimes people are like, who's your wife? Well, she's the one that's in the back or in that room or in that room, or she's somewhere doing something. I guess I'm going to have to put a picture of us in the little thing that plays before service, but that means we'll have to stop and take a picture. Well, we're in Acts chapter 10. And I tell you what, this was a tough one because Acts chapter 10 and 11 really are like one, it's like, it's the whole picture, the whole story. And so trying to figure out where to break it up and stop it was very difficult. So we're going to do two chapters today. No. No. We're not. That would be painful for me. I don't use that many words in a week. Acts chapter 10, we're going to do the first 23 verses. So to back up a little bit, at the end of Acts chapter 9, at the end of Acts chapter 9, it says that Peter goes and stays with Simon the tanner. And that's important because, number one, a tanner was considered somebody that was unclean because they were messing with animals and animal parts, tanning hides and doing all of that stuff. So it's significant that Peter was staying with him for that reason. It took Peter out of a safe, if you will, environment from the Jewish perspective. But something is about to happen in Acts chapter 10 that is really significant. If you remember in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, for all of you Bible scholars, that's where we find what? The Great Commission. Yes, that is. Don't look at me with blank stares. Matthew 28, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Not just the Jewish people, but all nations. And baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So up to this point, everything has been contained, if you will, within the Jewish community. And for good reason. Part of it is the Jews didn't interact a ton with Gentiles. We are unclean. And so a Gentile, unless you have Jewish heritage, Jewish blood flowing through your veins, you're a Gentile. You and I, most of us, are Gentiles. Anybody that's not a Jew. And so to mix with a Gentile, because they were doing things that were considered unclean by the Jewish community. You wouldn't come over to my house and have dinner because you know that I cook a lot of bacon on the griddle. And anything that touches it after that is unclean. Because they can't eat that stuff. It has to be kosher. It has to fit within the law and all of the things that are said to be kosher. And even though Christ came to fulfill the law, they were still really operating. They loved Jesus. They were serving Jesus. They're full of the Holy Spirit. But they're still following a lot of these Jewish rules and laws. It was who they were. It was what they knew. And so they were still doing all of those things. And so the Gentiles haven't been reached yet until Acts chapter 10. It says this. It says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision, an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror. Angel literally, they believe, as they read the language here, comes in and appears before him. Cornelius! And he freaks out a little bit. What is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So the angel shows up. He has this vision. The angel talks to him, tells him to go get Simon, Peter, and he gets his people together. You three, go. Go get this guy. Verse 9, Peter's vision. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, around noontime. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, the people he was staying with, he fell into a trance. And he saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times. And the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them to be his guests. What is the purpose of prayer? What's the purpose of prayer? Why do we pray? Is it a shopping list for Jesus? My wish list? I've got a wish list on Amazon. I make sure I share it with important people so they know what I need. Is it to encourage change in others? Heavenly Father, I pray for they need Jesus. So I think that there's a multitude of reasons or purposes to prayer. There's a multitude of components to prayer. Speaking. Point number one, speaking. Speaking is part of prayer. It's probably the most common part that we talk about. We talk about the Lord's Prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We just sang that song. Holy, yeah, I don't sing. Holy. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. That's what we just sang. And we Part of prayer is speaking. It's talking. Any healthy relationship has two-way communication. We're talking, we're listening, we're talking. Maybe you're still talking. Somebody's hopefully listening. And I want to compare these two, not compare, but just draw attention to, in both of these accounts, we've got Cornelius and we've got Peter, and both men went to prayer. It says Cornelius went to prayer at the ninth hour. That's about 3 o'clock. That was a common time for a Jewish person to go to prayer. And he goes and he begins to pray. And an angel shows up. Boom. Here I am. God's got a message for you. And everybody's like, I wish God would make it that clear for me. So let me tell you, if you're like, man, we're just looking for a new church, quit looking. You found it. It says, Peter went about the sixth hour. That's around noontime. That's why his stomach was growling. It's time for lunch. Both are typical times of prayer in the Jewish community. And they were going about their daily prayer time. Daily prayer time. They were seeking God regularly. You go, man, why did they get a vision? They were seeking God regularly, multiple times a day. I prayed over breakfast. Not the same thing. They were regularly seeking God. So talking to God, it is part of prayer. And Lord, I need strength. Lord, give me words of wisdom to speak to the people. Lord, help me to have insight upon your scriptures so that as I bring these things to light, it's not just another boring old sermon that they've already heard regurgitated once more. But help me provide some new insight, Lord, some fresh information that challenges my spirit and my heart and my mind and draws me into closer relationship with God. Lord, help me to provide information that as people are navigating difficult seasons of life, they understand that God is walking with them through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't get to go around it. You still have to go through it, but he's there with you. We got ourselves there somehow. So talking to God is part of prayer. It's probably the most talked about part and probably the most practiced part. Even though we have two ears and one mouth, we do more talking than listening. So the second part is listening. And I think this is the part we skip over. Both men had visions, and we go, oh, they had a vision. Like, the angel showed up and talked to Cornelius, which is amazing, miraculous. Peter has a vision. It says he was in a trance, in modern language, go, oh, he was in a trance. That's weird. Not like he was hypnotized or a trance like in modern language that we would call a trance. He was, what it's really talking about is that in his mind, his thoughts, instead of being distracted over here, his thoughts all came together and he was so focused on man, God's about to share something with me. And he begins to see this vision in his mind or maybe physically sees this vision. But God provides a vision for him. And he sees this sheep descending with all of these different kinds of animals. And God says, go and kill and eat. And he says, no bacon for me, Jesus. Peter hasn't figured out that it makes the burger better. And so they go to their prayer time, and it doesn't tell us what they said. Everybody's like, can you just give us the 1, 2, 3s so we can experience what they did? Well, the number one is they were regularly in that prayer time. And the number two is they listened. Oh. Oh. part of that prayer time is they just take time. God, what do you have for me? All right, I got to go get the groceries. God, can you work on their heart? Is my prayer to change others or to allow God to change me? Oh, Lord, my spouse could be better at, or maybe I could be better at communicating, or like even try to communicate. Yeah, harder. Is my prayer so that I can get God to engage another human and make them better? Now, sometimes we're praying, this person needs to know Jesus, or this person. We had prayer this morning, and people need a physical touch. People need strength, you know, emotional strength, physical strength, all kinds of different things. We have all these prayer needs this morning, and we're praying over those things. We're uniting in faith. Sometimes when we're the one walking through the thing, our faith feels weak, and we need somebody to come alongside us and walk through that thing with us so that we can get through it, over it, around it, whatever it has to be, so we can get to the other side of the obstacle and experience the next thing God has for us. Sometimes people are going through great things in life. What should you do for them? Celebrate with them. It's a great thing when people are experiencing good things. We sing, we have a good God. That means good things are happening to God's people. And we celebrate with those people. We don't, whatever, I don't want to hear about your victory. Yes, I do. I want to hear about your victory because I want to experience victory. And if today the only way for me to experience victory is your story, then so be it. Because tomorrow, I'm going to get to share my victory. So is my prayer to change others or to change me? And to take that moment to sit and say, okay, Lord, pull these things out. Pull these things out. I'm in a bad mood today. Help me get it out. Lord, I'll sit quietly before you. And none of us like silence. It's awkward. And then this weird tension begins to rise up. And then most of us have to figure out a way to break the tension. So what do? We open that, and it just starts to flow. We did a marriage conference one time, and he compared spouses, and he said, there's what you'll find in marriages is there's a babbling brook and a pond to receive. Think about it for a second. And you see that in relationships. Somebody's got a lot of words. And somebody is a pool to receive them. With the Lord, he's not the pool. We're supposed to be receiving from him. Lord God, let me give you some, the 411. Let me explain to you how we can make this person better. I think there's a scripture that talks of something about a log and a speck or something. I think a key component in this passage is both men take a moment to pause and hear what God has for them. It's not just because there was a vision, and there's not a lot of detail here, but I believe the vision came because they stopped and listened to what God had for them. Because they weren't just talking. They were just listening and allowing God to speak to their hearts. The third thing is responding. Both men responded immediately. Immediately they responded. What do we do with the thing God speaks to us? Get that thing out of your life. I'll just set it over here for now. I might need to come back to that. I like the joke, you know, when you have a grudge against somebody, you need to forgive them. You bury the hatchet, but you leave the handle sticking out so you can go get it again. Because you might need that. Well, you know what you did. So what are we doing? In Peter's case, he kind of had to take that thing and tuck it away. It says in verse 16, it happened three times. That sheet came down three times. It came down and Peter saw it and he said, I can't eat any of that, Lord. And the sheet came down again. Still can't eat it, God. And the sheet came down again. When God tells you something that many times, probably should pay attention. And it says it a couple of times that Peter pondered these things. In verse 17, it says, he was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision he had seen might mean. Now, we use the vision today to say we can eat bacon. I mean, I had bacon on my burger last night. It made it better. I buy bacon in 5-pound bricks. It's beautiful. I'm not Jewish. Pigs are pretty in thin strips. So Peter had to dwell on it. He had to think about, Lord, what are you speaking to me? Now, Peter doesn't realize what's about to happen, but Peter's about to be put in a situation that for a Jewish man is very uncomfortable because he's about to be told to go to a Gentile's home. And if he's going to go to his home, he has to cross that threshold. Sometimes if you come pay me a visit at my house, I cross the threshold and you stay on the porch. And then once we know each other a little bit, I'll decide if I want my dogs to know you. Because if they know you, they won't stop you. But Peter's going to come into this situation where he's going to go into this man's house. That was not a common thing. It's like going to the rival sports team and hanging out and cheering with them. Yeah, we don't do that. No way. March Madness is about to start. And there's only a couple of teams you can root for. And so Peter's got this thing, and it says he's perplexed. He's really, God, what are you trying to show me with this? And then all of a sudden, these guys show up. Says in verse 9, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, three men are looking for you. So rise and go down and go with them, doubting nothing. What's the first thing we all do? You want me to do what? I don't even like that guy. He says, I have sent them. Verse 21, Peter went down to the men who were sent to him by Cornelius and said, here I am, the one you are seeking. Why have you come? And they tell him about Cornelius, and then he invited them in and gave them lodging. Stranger danger. 2025, maybe we don't invite them in and have them stay the night. In those moments of prayer, God is preparing the heart of Peter. He's not preparing the heart of these three servants who showed up. They're just doing what they're told by their master. They're following the instructions of Cornelius. The really cool thing that's happening here that I feel like we blow right by, God is over here and he's speaking to Cornelius. And he's doing something in Cornelius's life. Cornelius is a Gentile. It says he's a generous man. It says he's a God-fearing man. And God is working on Cornelius, and Cornelius is hungry. Do you remember when you used to be hungry for the things of God? Maybe you still are. I shouldn't assume you're not. I'm sorry. But Cornelius is hungry for the things of God, and the Lord appears to him through the angel and says, I've got something for you. Go get this guy. And at the same time, or technically the next day, according to the scripture, Peter is over here, and Peter is seeking God too. And God is preparing Peter's heart for something that is going to take him way outside of his comfort zone. So who's being changed by my prayer? Me. Because God's preparing my heart for something that I don't understand, maybe. That maybe I don't even fully recognize what God is doing. I can look back in my own personal life, and I look back at the different places that I've been, the different cities that I've lived in, the different people that I've known. And sometimes I think, man, I was here and I was doing this, and I was there and I was doing that. I was over here and I was doing this. I was in prison for a season. On staff. And then I came over here and started doing this other thing. And I look at all the different experiences, the people I've met, the skills that I've learned. And sometimes they don't make sense. And then you encounter somebody that's walking through something and you go, oh, I can use that piece of information right here. You encounter somebody that needs help with a broken pipe, and you go, oh, well, my years in the hardware store, I can help you with that. I can fix that. Oh, you've got a broken heart because you've experienced this tragedy. I can help you with that. I've experienced that. Oh, you're walking through this situation. I can help you with that. I've walked through that. And you go, oh, as I'm seeking God, I should be allowing him to speak to me so he can cultivate this person to be what he needs me to be. So how do you know if what you're hearing is from God? That's a hard question. Read the book. You'll find an answer. The Bible talks about we'll have a peace. You say, well, I don't really know what that means. Well, it's really hard to explain. That's why we don't often explain it, because it's difficult. When I feel like God is speaking something to my heart, I have a confidence and a peace that this is the direction I need to walk. Sometimes there's an uneasiness, and it's up to me and my relationship with God to determine, is this uneasiness, is it my unwillingness to obey? Is it my unwillingness because the situation makes me uncomfortable? And I just need to practice? I feel like God wants me to pray for this person. Go pray. What's the worst that's going to happen? They might yell at you. You'll get over it, I promise. I've been yelled at. I'm fine. Mostly. We need to respond to what God is speaking to our hearts. If God is speaking something that maybe you're like Peter and you go, I really don't fully understand what God is trying to show me. Life is not a race. People are like, why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you doing this? And you should start this thing and you should do that thing. And I'm plenty busy. I don't need to do other things. Just leave me alone. And I actually talked to a guy that pastored a large church. And I said, well, if you, looking back, what would you do different? And he said, you know, I would have paused after the different things and celebrated longer, celebrated the victories. Instead of moving from one program to the next program to the next program or the next fundraiser or the next whatever, man, God's doing something great. Let's enjoy the moment. Oh, we got this room remodeled. It looks great. Let's enjoy the moment. These people just came to church. We've been praying for them. Let's celebrate that. And God's challenging us that we might need to do something new. What does that mean? Well, let's pray about that. Let's shut up and listen. Quit trying to drive the ship all the time. We are such control freaks. Be OCD with your house. Let God navigate your life. And we have a name for everything now. We have, it's crazy. Slow down. That's why we use the KISS method here, because it works. We don't need flash and flare and all these things. We just need to slow down and allow the Holy Spirit a moment to work. And if the Holy Spirit's working in me, and the Holy Spirit's working in you, then the Holy Spirit is working in this place. And then it's going to be a natural byproduct of our growth in our relationship with the Lord, in our growth, in our obedience, in our response. Both of these guys respond immediately. Cornelius goes, you, go, get Peter. I don't know who he is, just go. He's at Simon the Tanner's house. Go. He's in Joppa. It's 30 miles. Go. Yes, sir. Peter's on the roof praying. Peter, these men are here to take you to a stranger's house. He is a Gentile. He eats bacon. Go. Yes, Lord, I will go. Here I am. I'm the guy you're looking for. Take me. Well, you can stay first and we'll go in the morning. Practice obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It sounds scary. It can be. There's a great book by one of the pastors in the Assemblies of God called Immediate Obedience. And it's about that. As God prompts us to do something, you go and do it. And this guy, he carries $100 bills around because God uses him to bless people. And he'll be in a grocery store or at a hotel or whatever. And God will just be like, hey, give that person $100. There you go. And it took some practice. But he got to this place where, man, when he feels or hears that prompting, hears, not always audibly, hears that prompting, here you go. And it's become a thing where it's easy because he's practiced it. So I just challenge you, practice a regular prayer time. We're going to talk a little bit, but make time to listen. To hear what God is saying to you. And when God has spoken something to your heart, hold on to that thing. Hold on to that thing. And trust in the Lord. We don't always understand the moment that we're walking in. But if you'll trust God, he's got you. And we don't always understand it. I don't have, what time is it? Let me close with this. I really believe as we've turned into a new chapter in Acts, we've moved from the setting the stage of what's going to happen with the New Testament church. We've turned the page into who the New Testament church is and how they're operating, their obedience and their faith. And I believe that we're going to see something amazing here at Sunny Ridge Church. And God is mirroring this same thing in our church. That we've gone from just like setting the stage, laying the carpet, setting the seats, smoothing the parking lot, building bridges. It's time for God to move. Go. Here comes another person. Minister to that person. Here comes another person. They need a touch in their life. Here comes another person. And I can't do it all. I can do some things. There's some things I'm really good at. There's other things I'm really not. And I don't want to be. It's not my gift. It's not my skill. It's not my thing. And I'm okay with that. I don't have to be good at everything. Most of the things. That's why you're here. God brought you to this place because you have giftings, you have callings, you have skills, you have abilities, you have dreams, you have passions, things that you love to do that I don't. And when you come alongside and you do that thing that you love and I do the thing that I love, you know, when we're all operating in those things that we're excited about and we're passionate about, we're all excited to be in the place together. And you're making me look good, which I like, and I'm making you look good, which you like. And we go, man, we're making this place great. Well, God's making this place great through us. Because as we interact in this relationship, it's opportunity for God to interact this way through us. And so that's what we want to do in this place. Amen? Lord, I thank you for these amazing people.